Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you with the grace and experience that comes from God, our Father, and our Master, Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Sebastian van Rensburg. We will continue on Psalm 103 from verse 6 to 10. Our theme for today is Praise for National Blessings. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. David talks about the covenant people. These people have agreed to love and obey Him, because He has agreed to be their God. He is a righteous God. This means that the Lord always does what is right. He took His oppressed people from Egypt to the land of Israel. The Egyptians had oppressed the Jews. This means they were cruel to them. They were not kind. They made them work very hard and gave them little. But the Lord told Moses His plan. He took the Israelites away from Egypt. This section falls into three parts, each of which contains the word has translated in the New Revised Standard Version as steadfast love, an equivalent to amazing grace in Christian hymnody. Verse 6 to 10 speaks of the inclusive nature of the Lord's steadfast love, which was justice for all who are oppressed. Verse 7 recalls the Exodus event. Verse 8 to 10 speaks of God's steadfast love as a forgiving love. The assertion is in verse 8 is like a creed that stands at the center of the entire psalm. The Hebrew root behind the words translated mercy in verse 4, merciful in verse 8, and compassion twice in verse 13, is reshem, which means womb. Thus the picture behind these words is the kind of affection a mother has for the child of her own womb. The Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now we see that the Lord performs righteous deeds. The term righteous deeds is used two ways in the Old Testament: to describe God's holiness, to describe God's act of salvation. It seems that in these two verses we have a description of the event of the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings. Therefore, this is a threefold thanksgiving for God's act of grace: the deliverance from Egypt, in revealing Himself to Moses, patience with the people during the wandering in the wilderness. In judgment for all who are oppressed, there are two ways to interpret texts such as this one. God cares for the weak, poor, and powerless. Since the Old Testament saw prosperity as a sign of God's favor, often a logical conclusion was He had rejected the others because of their sins. But it is possible to see God's repeatedly stated love for them as a literary way of showing or affirming His love and care for all. And the Lord is merciful and gracious in verse 8. Those of whom He deals are sinners. However much He favors them, they are guilty and need mercy at His hands. Nor is He slow to compassionate their lost in state, or reluctant by His grace to lift them out of it. Mercy pardons sin. Grace bestows favor, and both the Lord's abounds. This is that way of His sweet, of His which He made known to Moses, and in that way He will abide as long as the age of grace shall last, and men are yet in this life. He who execute righteousness and judgment, yet delight in mercy, slow to anger, he can be angry, and can deal out righteous indignation upon the guilty, but in his strange work he lingers long. The Lord is long-suffering, with loving pauses, tearing by the way to give space for repentance, duty for accepting His mercy. And he will not always strive in verse 9 with us. When one reads this in English, it seems to be to imply that God will always have patience with fallen humanity. But it is a Hebrew idiom for exactly the opposite. He will always have patience with his special creation. And we can be so thankful that God has so much patience with us every day of our lives. And if God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, what will happen to us? Now, faithful followers, we are not punished in relation to their sin, nor rewarded on this basis of their efforts. This verse obviously continues to the thoughts of Psalm 103, verse 9, and Israel knew the truth of it well. Verse 10, the last verse, indicates that God's steadfast love is undeserved. The Lord does not deal with us according to the readout of a cosmic computer keeping track of our acts, but with a kind love that a mother has for her own child. Today, the Lord works through governments, churches, non-profits, and social agencies to secure freedom for all, regardless of sex, disability, and skin color. He presides over an internal court and will someday bang his gavel against those who murder, rape, and pillage. He keeps reminding us to seek truth from his word and serve our communities with the compassion of Christ. He promises justice at the end of time, yet with the same breath, reminds us to forgive and offer the same grace he has offered us. Let's pray together. Lord, you showed Moses about your work. We pray, Lord, that you will also reveal your ways or your work to the leaders of the churches, leaders of this government, especially to our president. Open your plans to him, how to govern this nation with wisdom and knowledge, with compassion and fear for you, and that we will also serve you in this country with compassion and fear. If our hearts are filled with wounds, may your love heal those wounds, and may we be filled with your eternal peace. By the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.